Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. You guessed right, it's me, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Pretty good. Slow sports day.
Yeah, really a slow sports day.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna lead off. We're gonna tip off with a little Knicks. Talk about the trading deadline as Nets. They made a trade, not the trade they were looking for. We'll discuss that afterwards. Talk about baseball with somebody from the Yankees returning. We'll get to that momentarily. Talk a little bit about the Mets, the spring training stuff, but, we'll get into that. A little Jet news with Mark Sanchez, talking about his situation with Santonio Holmes. And last but not least, a recap of a pretty good week in WWE. But we'll get into that in the end as usual. But first, let's talk about your and mine New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go.
The Red Hot Knicks.
Yep. And, of course, the big news that went down in the city Wednesday was that actually I have to credit you informed me about this, but Mike D'Antoni, he resigned from being the head coach of the Knicks.
Yay!
And after that, Knicks have so far been on a 3-game winning streak. They beat, let me see. What was the first team they beat? 76ers? I don't remember who it was. I know they beat Pacers.
Blazers.
You're right, it was Blazers, right. And then Nate McMillan got fired. We whooped the Trailblazers' butt so bad, they fired their head coach.
And released the whole team.
Yep, and then they traded away the whole team. Yeah, and, yeah, that's how Knicks is, man. They caused two head coaches to resign or get fired, you know.
I've never seen that before. Wow.
And you know what's crazy? I'll tell you something really crazy. Mike Woodson, he set an NBA record for the most points scored in a coach's debut with a team.
Wow.
The Knicks whooped the Trailblazers behind by 42 points.
Yep. It was a fun game on Knicks.
It was. Oh, it was. But I don't know if you saw, like, towards the end, Jumper was really showboating.
Oh, yeah, both him and J.R. Smith, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, come on, man. I mean, usually I don't mind, you know, the showboating, you know, because everybody hates the Knicks anyway, so. But that was a little uncalled for. I mean, it was like 15 seconds left into the game. They're trying to dunk the ball and they're talking smack. And as you can see, Raymond Felton, the former Knick, you know, that team was filled with former Knicks. It had Camby, it had Kurt Thomas.
It's like New York Knicks Part 2 over there.
Yeah, it was like the 99 Knicks over there. we had Felton from a couple of years back, and there was another former Knick.
Camby.
I said Camby. There was another former Knick. Yeah, there was Kurt Thomas, there was Camby, there was Raymond Felton, and another former Knick, but I can't remember who it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the player escapes my mind for some reason.
Okay.
But there was like four former Knicks on that team before they just destroyed and traded the whole team away.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're not doing good, so they have to make a change.
Yep. And we'll talk about another local NBA team that made changes momentarily. But, yeah, the Knicks, you know, they – whoop, you know, the Trailblazers, but as we mentioned. And then the next game against the Pacers, before the first game on Friday, Danny Granger of the Pacers was saying that the next two games against the Knicks are, and I quote, winnable. But you know what? He was half right. You know, the games were, those two games were winnable for the Knicks.
Yeah, for the Knicks, exactly.
Because, that first game, man, and before the game, Stoudemire responded to him on Twitter saying that, that he shouldn't have said that, and, you know, they have something ready for him. He said something to that effect. I forgot exactly what he said. But, man, that first game, we schooled them.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they wish Gene Hackman was coaching them. They butt-whooped, man. But
that was another blowout game.
Oh yeah. And then what was it, yesterday's game? They hanged in there the first quarter. You know, it was they hanged in there. But then afterwards, the Knicks, you know, the typical bench Knicks, you know, J.R. Smith, Novak, draining threes, who were you saying?
Shumpert.
All right, Shumpert, you know, playing well. But whatchamacallit? Chandler, he's been playing well. Insanity. He returned.
Yeah, 19.
You know, he had 19 points. So what was it? 6 assists, 7 rebounds, something like that.
Yes.
So he was almost flirting with a triple double there. And gotta give Mike Woodson and the boys credit. Even Carmelo's not even looking to score. I mean, he had 16 points, but, you know, for the most of that game, he wasn't looking to score. He was actually passing the ball, folks. Yeah, I'm serious. I know some of you people are, you know, spitting out your food or you almost crashed your car listening to this. But he actually passed the ball. You know, Woodson got them playing, you know, defense. And they got this 3-game winning streak going on.
Yeah, they're playing team defense. They're spreading. They're moving the ball around. They're driving to the basket. It looks like a different guys out there on the floor.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like you were saying a couple of days ago to me. Who are these guys?
Yeah, who are they, man?
I'm like, I don't know, man. But don't tell Daniel Stern who it is. David Stern, you know
David
that
Stern,
the NBA commissioner.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, maybe they're playing more looser ball under Mike Woodson.
Yeah.
Maybe they just got tired of D'Antoni.
Yeah. So at first, Carmelo, after the thing went down, you know, he was saying, like, you know, he's surprised about the thing and that, you know, he's going to text him or talk to him about it. And then the next day he was like, you know, he was pretty much saying that he's happy, you know, that the ball's going to be to them, you know, going to be centered around him and Stoudemire and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, before D'Antoni fired, there was some reports there was a power struggle between D'Antoni and Carmelo, and that Carmelo might have even demanded a trade. That's how crazy it was. But of course, you know, Carmelo Anthony flat out denies it. But bottom line, he won. I mean, when you think about it, if you had to choose between a superstar player and, you know, quite possibly a future Hall of Famer, and you got a, you know, a good coach, but a coach that's in a losing situation, and it, not a perfect fit for this team, most chances, 9 out of 10 chances, they're going to fire the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, this is a players' league. You know, the players
exactly have
control over, you know, the coaches and these organizations, so, you know.
Exactly. No,
they get the ultimate say.
Nobody ever goes out of their way and say, oh, my gosh, man, I got to see this guy coach.
Yeah,
People come to see the players play.
Right, exactly.
You know, so that was, you know, that was pretty much a no-brainer. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So Knicks, rightfully so, they didn't make any major moves. They didn't do any trades. They didn't do anything, you know, at the deadline, which they shouldn't have, because that would have been crazy if they did that.
Yeah, they can't keep trading for people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because
like,
these guys keep having. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Oh no, I was gonna say that they can't keep treating people. They have to like stick with the team that they have now and build chemistry. You know.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. You know, they have to build chemistry. You know, because these guys always have excuses. Oh, you know, we need to gel. Oh, you know, we just got so and so, and we gotta wait for us to build that chemistry. And all these excuses, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I totally agree. This is the time they're supposed to have chemistry. And then, of course, they had the excuse that, you know, the guys weren't gone, you know, weren't there, like Baron Davis.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And, you know, we missed some guys like Stoudemire and Carmelo at some points in the season. And then, of course, we had the lockout, so we didn't have a full training camp. So, you know, it's good we're finally having – you know, the guy's healthy for change.
Yeah.
And actually playing at a, you know, NBA caliber level.
Yeah, I hope they can continue on this win streak. And, you know, D'Antoni, he just, I mean, he didn't have a good record with us.
Nope.
Didn't have a good winning record anyway.
Exactly.
It was his time to go, you know?
It sure was. Whether he resigned or they mutually agreed. I mean, whatever the you know, the reason he wasn't a perfect fit. I mean, you know, in New York, you know, you got to play. If you want to be a championship caliber team, you gotta play defense.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, you know, sure the game. You know, they you know when they play correctly, you know, they're fun. You know, run and gun team, but. You know, when you run and gun like that, you know, it does tend to cause more turnovers because you're not walking the ball. You're not thinking methodically. You're just trying to score 6 seconds or less or you know, whatever, you know,
yep.
the line was.
Right, right.
But, yeah, the problem was they didn't play enough defense to win games. So.
Yeah, and it's like they were, like, sometimes it looked like their offense was, like, they were confused on the floor. Like, almost should get on the ball, and some of them were just, they weren't moving the ball like they are now, you know.
That's what led to their six-game losing streak before D'Antoni got fired.
Right.
But like you said, you know, hopefully, you know, they can keep this streak going. You know, because it's put up or shut up time. Knicks, you know, they're currently in the eighth spot, but Milwaukee has a tiebreaker because Milwaukee beat us twice this year. So we definitely got to win some more ground.
Yeah.
Because Milwaukee, you know, they got the tiebreaker against us. We don't get out of this eighth seed. Most likely not going to make it to the playoffs because Milwaukee, if we're in a, you know, tie situation, you know, Milwaukee is going to get that last spot.
Yeah, hopefully we can climb up the standings,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. But switching gears to the other, well, soon-to-be other team in town in next year, they're going to move to Brooklyn. Of course, I'm talking about the New Jersey Nets. They had a huge blow. They won, of course. There was no secret that they wanted to get Dwight Howard.
Yep.
A guy, you know, me and you, you know, in a perfect world would love him to be our center if we didn't have Tyson Chandler. This was obviously before we got Tyson Chandler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, Dwight Howard would have absolutely, you know, changed the whole dynamic of the Nets franchise. I mean, he would have put them into a level they haven't been since their ABA days with Dr. J.
Right, right.
Championship caliber team paired with Darren Williams. But unlike, you know, Carmelo or LeBron, who stick to their guns, you know, they want to go free agency and go wherever they want to go. Dwight Howard, on the other hand, he was thinking about his legacy in Orlando. So he, instead of doing what everybody thought he was going to do and opt out, become a free agent, he didn't exercise that option. So he's going to be in Orlando for one last year. So that pretty much kills the Nets' plan. And Darren Williams is most likely going to leave. He's going to leave. The only way he's
most likely
for the money, but or unless if he really loves it there, but most likely he's not going to stay. The writing's on the wall. He's most likely going to test for agency and leave.
Yeah, I mean it's unfortunate, but you know.
Yeah.
I guess Dwight Howard feels like he could still win in Orlando, maybe.
Yeah. And he didn't want his legacy, you know. He didn't want his legacy to go out like that yet.
Yeah, exactly.
In Orlando. So, you know, the Nets, you know, they can't you know, they can't keep their head down, you know, because, you know, their plan got ruined for that inaugural year in Brooklyn next year. So they got to do well. They did make a move, but this kind of ruins their future a bit. Because they trade away Amendo Core, who used to be a decent player, you know.
Yeah.
With Utah, I believe he used to be in.
Yeah.
That guy used to bounce around all over the place.
Yeah, Utah Jazz, yeah.
Yeah, Sean Williams, a guy Knicks fans were familiar with last year when he played with us.
Yep.
Backing down threes. He was the Steve Novak before Steve Novak.
Yep.
But and here's the real bad part of this. They trade away a future first round pick to the I can't remember the team now. Was it Bobcats? Wait, I'm trying to They traded to Gerald.
Blazers.
They got it for. Oh, for Blazers, you say?
Yeah, wasn't he on Blazers?
Gerald Wallace?
Yeah.
He could have been. I know he was on the Bobcats, but that might have been early in his career.
No, that was early on, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. He started his career with, or at least he was, you know, popular.
Bobcats. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was Blazers, the other team he was on now. Because I can't remember.
Yeah, because you know, it was Portland, because Portland just cleaned house. They traded everybody, Wallace and Camby.
Yeah, they had another trade after that, too, yeah. They had a ridiculous trade. They traded the whole team and
right.
got rid of the owner.
Yeah, I'm looking online. Yeah, it was Portland that he was on this year.
Now he made his net debut yesterday, but I think they lost.
Oh.
But I forgot to what team they lost to.
Oh, okay.
The Nets I'm referring to. So Gerald Wallace made his debut for the Nets. A decent player, but I wouldn't
good.
Give him my... What you said?
He's a good player, but he's not like, you know, he's not a superstar player.
I think they got a little change
your franchise, you know?
Yeah, I think they got a little desperate, you know. Since,
yeah.
You know, they wanted to make a move. They wanted to make a splash because, of course, you know, Nets have been striking out a lot lately, you know.
Yeah.
Especially in the free agency. You know, of course, they were trying to go after LeBron. They struck out on that. Obviously, the Knicks struck out, you
mm-hmm.
know, with that one also. But, you know, they try to get the other guys, you know, Bosh and Wade, especially LeBron. They really wanted to get that guy. But,
right.
You know, they did succeed in get they were trying to get Carmelo in the trade. They didn't get him, but they did bounce back nicely with the Darren Williams trade. But unless the Darren Williams resigns, you know, that's going to be for nothing, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah. They better hope Billy King, their GM, you know, has an ace up his sleeve and try to convince Darren Williams and, you know, try to draft within and actually try to keep, you know, some first-round picks other than the one that they just gave away in the Wallace trade.
Yep.
Try to build from within like they did back in the days, you know, the Jason Kidd era. You know, they had Richard Harrison and Kenyon Martin, all those guys.
Yeah.
They're going to have to draft from within and be smart about it.
Well, they have some good young players right now. But, you know, those players are like years away.
Yeah. I mean, Humphrey is doing good for them. They got Mauro, Brook Lopez. I mean, if they're not trading him away.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, they just need to build a little bit more pieces, let those guys develop. And, you know, who knows? In the East is pretty weak. I mean, other than the Bulls.
Yep.
Heat. So, I mean, you know, who knows? In a couple of years, they could compete in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, they may get lucky. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
But screw them. I'm a Knicks fan.
But, moving on with the, you know, with the other teams, the Yankees, big news. They got Pettit back.
Andy Pennant.
Yep. I know you're excited.
Yeah, I'm glad, you know. Wow, we're loaded with pitchers, man. It's like teams complain about, like, they don't have enough starting pitchers. We have a lot of starting pitchers right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, but the question is Andy Pettit going to be the same guy he was even 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think he'll be right now he's signed to a minor league deal, so he's gonna
a minor league, but it's like what $2.5 million.
Yeah, well he's gonna, you know, it's gonna be to prep him up to for you know the big leagues. I mean you don't just want to throw him in there back in there unready, you know.
Yeah, but this guy, I mean, I don't know how long Yankees had this planned, because last year they were trying to, you know, talk to him. He said that he's not coming back.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, just a couple of days ago, they're saying, oh, they brought him back as a instructor to help the kids out. And then magically the next day he signed with them as a player again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he, you know, some of these players, they, you know, when they're back on the field or in the court, you know, they feel like playing again, you know.
Yeah, but he had this idea a long time ago. But the Yankees, you know, they just find like, oh, he's just there to be the special instructor. Why don't they just say he's a special instructor? You know, he might come back. You know, he might test to see if he come back. And
well, he wasn't sure. I mean, he wasn't sure though.
No, but he said that, you know, he's been thinking about it for a while. That he got the itch back again. The way how they made it sound like, oh, wow, he just made his decision now. I'm pretty sure they were thinking about it for a long time, but then they just made it official. It felt like, I guess he could do it.
Well, you know, I like it. Andy Pettis, that's my boy. I think he's good. If he can pitch the same way he did, you know, a couple years ago, I think, you know, he's going to help us a lot.
Yeah, if he's healthy, it'll definitely be a great move.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is number one in postseason wins. I mean, this guy is, you know, one of the greatest big game pitchers of all time, no doubt about it. So,
yeah,
I mean, you can't knock the move if he still has something left in the tank.
Yeah.
That's the question.
If Jamie Moyer can still pitch at 50 years old, I'm pretty sure Danny Pettit can pitch at 39.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's possible. I mean, it's not like the 2 years ago he was throwing hard. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's possible. But you never know. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see if he still has it. I mean, too early to say. He has an incredible track record, you know, coming through. But
yeah.
The question is, did Father Time catch up to him finally?
Yeah.
But and I'm not talking about Roger Clemens. I'm talking about, you know, his abilities, his talent, you know. Even Mariano Rivera, this might be his last year, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I think Mariano's pitched forever, man. I think. I don't think this is going to be Mariano's last year. I think he's going to reconsider that. Especially if the Yankees throw money at him. I mean, he's going to have to stay. I think Mariano has a few more years left. But we'll see.
But we'll wait and see, you know, how Pettit does throughout the season.
Yep.
So I guess we'll move on to the Jet news right now. Oh, but before I get to Jet news, Mario Manningham, he signed a 2-year deal with 49ers. So, you know, that's, you know, a guy from the championship Giants that won't be on the team anymore. Your thoughts? Hello?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Manningham signing with 49ers?
Oh, okay. Well, he's eventually going to go. He's eventually going to leave anyway. But I'll miss the guy. But, you know, this past year, you know, he was in the shadow of Knicks and
Cruz,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, he's replaceable. But we will miss his speed and quickness.
Yeah, definitely. Moving to the Jets, Mark Sanchez, him and Santonio Holmes buried the hatchet. Santonio Holmes congratulated him on his new deal. And Sanchez secretly met with Santonio Holmes when he was doing charity work in Africa. So looks
yeah.
like, you know, they're, you know, rightfully
up,
so. Oh, what were you saying? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you that they're patching up things.
Yeah, you know, that in order for them to bounce back from that horrible year they had last year, you know,
right.
they got to be together.
Right.
No, they got to stop with the anonymous Jet players talking. You know, they got to man up and play the game right.
Right.
The only time they look like they were united and were playing as one was when in that Pepsi Max tournament.
I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did see that commercial?
Yeah, but it's, I mean, this year has been, this year was a very, it was a tumultuous year for them.
What?
So next year they gotta, you know, show that they can work together better.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it was great. So the Rock concert was as great or even greater as advertised. So good luck with these guys. I don't even know if Rock's going to show up tomorrow, but it was great. But expected to be crazy that last
week. Oh, yeah.
That last week before WrestleMania.
Two more weeks to WrestleMania.
Tomorrow, Shawn Michaels and Triple H and The Rock. I'm not, Triple H and Undertaker are going to be in the ring together tomorrow.
Yeah.
It wasn't the first time ever, but something interesting should happen. Check it out. I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you, McCallis, for coming on.
Anytime.
Thank you guys.